Welcome to Washington Today for Friday, October 6, 2023. I'm Shannon Rice. Thank you for joining us. Job growth was stronger than expected in September, a sign that the U.S. economy is working despite higher interest rates, labor battles, and dysfunction in Washington. Non-farm payrolls increased by 336,000 for the month, better than the Dow Jones estimate for 170,000, and more than 100,000 higher than the previous month, the Labor Department said Friday. The unemployment rate was 3.8%, compared to the forecast for 3.7%. The payrolls increase was the best monthly number since January. The strong numbers are better for the economy than the August numbers, but also signal that the economy refuses to slow down, despite the Federal Reserve's efforts to get prices and hiring closer to normal levels. Here's President Biden with more on today's jobs numbers.
This morning we learned the economy created 336,000 jobs in September alone. That means since I've taken office, we've created 13.9 million new jobs. You heard me say it before, I'm going to keep saying it. My dad had an expression. He said, Joey, a job's about a lot more than a paycheck. It's about your dignity. It's about respect. It's about being able to look your kid in the eye and say, honey, it's going to be okay and mean it. Well, 336,000 more Americans, if they have children, can say that to their children and mean it. The unemployment rate has stayed below 4% for 20 months in a row, the longest stretch in 50 years.
We'll hear his full remarks in a moment. On this morning's Washington Journal, Abba Batari of The Washington Post explained what today's jobs numbers mean and why they were surprising.
This was a blockbuster number. It was well above expectations, in fact, about double what many people were expecting. And it really comes as a surprise. It shows that the job market is still extremely strong. The Fed has been trying for over a year now to raise interest rates enough to slow the economy. And we are starting to see things slow, but the job market has held on, and that's really anchoring things. It's making sure, you know, it's giving households the money they need to keep spending, and it's really propping up the broader economy in a pretty phenomenal way.
Have you been able to dig into the job sectors, where these jobs added, where they came from?
Yeah, it's across many different sectors, which is a great sign. We're seeing nearly 100,000 new jobs in leisure and hospitality. Now, that's a sector that's really struggled to get back to pre-pandemic levels. And in September, it finally got there. Restaurants and bars are finally as well-staffed as they were before the pandemic. We're also seeing a lot of new hires in government and healthcare jobs. And that's what's helping drive a lot of this growth.
So you mentioned it, the Federal Reserve and the importance of these jobs numbers when it comes to that all-important interest rate. What are they going to be taking away from this report? How are they going to read it?
If you'd asked me 2 hours ago, I would have said the Fed is hanging tight for a while. They're not likely to keep raising interest rates. But this extremely strong jobs number changes the picture a little bit. It kind of puts another interest rate hike this year back on the table. There are several other, there's another inflation report. There's a big GDP report coming out before the Fed meets again later this month. So we'll see what they do. But it's still very much an open question whether they're going to continue to raise interest rates.
What's that GDP report and what's expected? What is that report expected to show?
So it's the third quarter GDP report, and by most measures, or by almost every measure, the economy was extremely strong in the third quarter. So that's likely to be a very high number. And, you know, the economy has really stunned a lot of people. I think we started the year with many economists thinking we were definitely in for a recession, and that just has not happened. Things have continued to chug along and grow.
Coming back to this report, dig into what the data tells us about wages in America and Americans' wages right now coming out of COVID, coming out of a time of a very high interest rates.
Yeah, wages are still going up, but wage growth has cooled a little bit from earlier this year. But at the same time, what's important for many families is that wage growth is outpacing inflation. So wages are up about 4.2% in the last year, and that's compared to inflation of 3.7%. So for a normal family's monthly budget, that's a good thing.
And when I say interest rates, I of course meant inflation rates. Where are economists right now coming out of this time of high inflation rates on the idea of avoiding a recession? There's some optimism over the summer that soft landing, as they call it, could be achieved. Where are we today?
this summer really defied the odds. I think, you know, there were huge expectations that things were going to slow down in a big way, and that has not happened. And a lot of that is because of the job market, and that's continued to hold steady. As long as Americans are receiving paychecks, they're still able to spend. They've been able to sort of deal with all of these other hurdles that are out there, you know, and that's given a lot of resilience to the economy. There is still an open question of what happens next year, though. A lot of people are still expecting the economy to begin slowing next year. I mean, there's no way things are going to continue at the blistering pace that they have been. But the question is really how much they're going to slow and whether that slowdown is going to be protracted enough to push us into a recession. We're not sure, but the general sense is that even if there is a recession, it will be a fairly mild, a fairly short one.
Abba Batari of The Washington Post, speaking on this morning's Washington Journal. You can find the entire program on our website at cspan.org. Finally today, President Biden's full remarks from the Roosevelt Room of the White House on today's jobs report. After speaking about today's job numbers, he took questions from reporters.
Hey folks, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good news today. This morning we learned the economy created 336,000 jobs in September alone. That means since I've taken office, we've created 13.9 million new jobs. You heard me say it before, I'm going to keep saying it. My dad had an expression. He said, Joey, a job's about a lot more than a paycheck. It's about your dignity. It's about respect. It's about being able to look your kid in the eye and say, honey, it's going to be okay and mean it. Well, 336,000 more Americans, if they have children, can say that to their children and mean it. The unemployment rate has stayed below 4% for 20 months in a row, the longest stretch in 50 years. We've achieved a 70-year low in unemployment rate for women, record lows in unemployment for African Americans and Hispanic workers, and people with disabilities, folks who have been left behind in previous recoveries and left behind for too long. We have the highest share of working-age Americans in the workforce in 20 years. And it's no accident. It's Bidenomics. We're growing the economy from the middle out, the bottom up, not the top down. And inflation is coming down at the same time. It's down 60% since last summer. Core inflation was just 2.2% over the past 3 months. And now we have the lowest inflation of any major economy in the world. Today, we're celebrating National Manufacturing Day. We didn't name it that. It was already National Manufacturing Day. But it seemed appropriate. I can think of no better way to mark the occasion than to thank the 13 million Americans who are in manufacturing jobs as we speak. They're restoring our pride, making things in America. And today I want to highlight that of those 13 million manufacturing jobs, 815,000 of those jobs were created since I took office, twice as many as the previous administration. And report what we learned earlier this week, that spending on construction for new factories being built to generate more economic growth and jobs hit an all-time high last month. Folks, Bidenomics is about investing in America and investing in American workers. And businesses are investing more in manufacturing than ever before and bringing the supply chains home. Before the pandemic, supply chains was a phrase most people didn't even associate with, didn't think much about. But today, after a few delays in availability of parts and products everyone has known about, they know why it's so important. My economic plan is bringing supply chains home and investing in industries of the future so we can make things in America again with American workers. We're creating good jobs in communities all across the country, including in places that have been left behind for the last, in some cases, 20 years, because the factories they used to work at for years and years shut down, leaving them with no options, no jobs in that community, all over the Midwest and all over the Northeast. That under Bidenomics, you won't have to leave home now to get a good job. I don't know how many times I heard and out on the road people saying, my kid came up to me, got a decent education in the state, came up to me and said, Mom, I got to leave. No jobs. No jobs. Well, you're going to be able to find a good job close to home more and more all across America. We're also making sure the jobs we're creating offer workers a free and fair right, if they choose, to join a union, to to form a union. Bidenomics is leading the surge in unionized workers exercising their collective bargaining rights. For example, our clean school bus program under the bipartisan infrastructure law is replacing dirty diesel buses with clean electric buses so children getting on and off those buses can bring clean air, not diesel fuel. We're encouraging the companies building those buses to allow their employees to unionize if the employees choose. And it's working. We saw in Georgia when workers at Bluebird, the electric school bus manufacturing company that's receiving federal funds, voted to unionize because that was their choice. The Treasury Department laid out recently in a major report that unions and collective bargaining are good for the economy overall. They help raise wages not only for the workers in that factory, but for everyone, whether or not they're a union, whether or not you belong to a union. And they also increase, corporate growth. And today's job report is just another example of what it looks like when we focus on building an economy from the middle out and the bottom up, not the top down, while bringing deficits down at the same time. You know, just this summer, I signed a strong bipartisan law where I shook hands with the former speaker. And we passed in the House and the Senate as well to cut spending by $1 trillion over the next 10 years. Unfortunately, last weekend, Republican House members decided they were going to put that progress in jeopardy. Instead of honoring that commitment they made, they once again brought us to the brink of a government shutdown, creating unnecessary instability and risk in order to secure more extreme cuts in programs that help working Americans and seniors. Cuts that would have hurt everyone from hurt U.S. manufacturing, that would have stymied the pay of military people, a whole range of things. They tried cutting funding by 30% for small businesses, which are growing under our administration, for local manufacturers, for manufacturing extension partnership program that helps small and medium-sized manufacturers attract and train workers and grow their businesses. But we stopped them. Quite frankly, I'm sick and tired of Republicans in the House saying they want to cut the deficit when all they really want to do is once again cut taxes for the very wealthy and big corporations, which will only add to the deficit. When I was able to cut the federal debt by $1.7 trillion over that first two years, well, remember what we were talking about. Those 50 corporations that made $40 billion weren't paying a penny in taxes. Well, guess what? We made them pay 15% in taxes, 15%. Nowhere near what they should pay. And guess what? We're able to pay for everything, and we end up with an actual surplus. You know, it's not what the economy needs right now, more tax cuts for the wealthy. I've said it before and I'll say it again. We've cut the deficit by over $1 trillion since we've taken office. The laws that I sign will cut it by another $1 trillion over the next 10 years. And my budget would cut it by another $2.5 trillion over 10 years. Here's the deal. The federal debt went up by 50% under my predecessor, in part because he passed a $2 trillion tax cut overwhelmingly skewed to the very wealthy and large corporations. I believe we should be reducing the deficit by making sure that the wealthy and large corporations can just pay their fair share. I'm not asking them to pay 90%. Just pay their fair share by cutting wasteful spending on special interests like big oil, all the money they made and paid so little in taxes. Big pharma, same thing. You know, we just gave the American public a real gift in terms of, not gift, but fairness, in terms of what they have to pay for insulin and what they're gonna have to pay for other things. Well, guess what? That also cut the federal debt. Cut the federal debt. For example, there are over 1,000 billionaires in this country. And I know you're gonna hear me say this until I'm able to change it. You know what their average rate of pay, the federal tax rate is? 8%. 8%. I think you should be able to be a trillionaire, a billionaire, a zillionaire if you want, but pay your taxes for God's sake. Pay some fair, something approaching a fair tax. That's less than a teacher or a firefighter or a cop pays in their taxes. It's just wrong. Look, House Republicans shouldn't put us back in a crisis mode again. We have only 40 days for Congress to get back to work. They're on the same House Republicans on recess now to fund the government avoid a shutdown, and protect the tremendous gains American workers have made over the past 2.5 years. Shutdown would mean troops don't get paid, air traffic controllers wouldn't get paid, there'd be all kinds of problems at airports, loans to small businesses would be delayed, and closing some of them. It's time to stop fooling around. House Republicans, it's time for you to do your job. Continue our progress, growing the economy, investing in America, investing in the American people. So let's get to work for the American people. They're waiting and they're watching. We got to get to work. Thank you all very much.
Mr. President, what are the prospects for a meeting between you and President Xi of China in San Francisco next month?
There has been no such meeting set up, but it is a possibility.
Mr. President, former President Trump endorsed Congressman Jim Jordan for House Speaker. Could you see yourself working with Congressman Jordan if he is the next Speaker? And do you have any concerns about who might fill that position?
Look, whomever the House Speaker is, I'm going to try to work with. They control half the Congress, and I'm going to try to work with them. There's some people I imagine it's going to be easier to work with than others, but whomever the Speaker is, I'll try to work with.
Mr. President, you be specific about what you did to try to reappropriate those border funds, especially when Democrats controlled both chambers of Congress?
You know, the wall thing? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, they passed. Well, I was told that I had no choice, that Congress passes legislation to build something, whether it's an aircraft carrier, a wall, or provide for a tax cut. I can't say I don't like it. I'm not going to do it if it hadn't been vetoed,
if it's a law. Yesterday that you tried to reappropriate the funds.
We tried to ask the Congress to consider changing the law to reappropriate. Say, don't use it for other purposes. Give me more border agents. Give me more technical capabilities to detect fentanyl and the like. That's what I wanted to do.
Mr. President, you started your remarks here today by saying it was good news today with the economic report. Why do you think most people still don't feel positive or feel good news about the economy?
Well, first of all, you just heard the news today, too. They haven't heard it. I think the people, those 300,000+ people who got jobs, feel better about the economy. I got to choose my words here. You all are not the happiest people in the world. What's your report? And I mean it sincerely. You get more legs when you're reporting something that's negative. I don't mean you're picking on me. I'm just the nature of things. You turn on the television, and there's not a whole lot about boy saves dog as he swims in the lake. It's about, somebody pushed the dog in the lake. I mean, I get it, but if you just listen to what's going on around the world, there's reason for people to be concerned. There's reason for people to be concerned what's going on in Russia. There's reason to be concerned about what's going on in other parts of the world. I think that the American people are smart as hell and know what their interests are. I think they know they're better off financially than they were before. It's a fact. And all that polling stuff shows they think they're more positive about the economy than they've been, more positive about their jobs, et cetera. I just think let me put it this way. If you just watch what happened last week in the Congress, how excited are you going to be about much of anything? Anyway.
Why are we not legally trying to challenge border wall construction?
Are you going to wait till there's a speaker to make a speech on Ukraine, sir?
President Biden speaking earlier today from the Roosevelt Room at the White House. You can find more on today's jobs numbers on our website. Remember, you can find this program as a podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, and it's also available on YouTube. Just search Washington Today. And for more on the stories that are shaping Washington every day, get our free daily email, Word for Word. Go to cspan.org/connect to subscribe. I'm Shannon Rice. Thanks for listening today to Washington Today.